Okay. Shalom Aleichem. Parshas Tetzaveh. As usual, I'm trying to keep things current in addition to our learning the Parsha together. Hashem should continue to give us Siyata Deshmaya in that area. At any event, there is certainly a phrase that "Biyachad Ninatzeach," that together we will triumph. Together we will triumph. That's a very common phrase here in Eretz Israel now, since the beginning of the war. And really, what it's doing is attempting to contrast the sense of unity that exists in Eretz Israel since the beginning of the war, and contrast it with the division, the lack of unity, the enmity, Rahman al-Islam, typified the social scene in Eretz Israel during Tavshin Pei Gimel. Be'ezer Hashem, it should continue. Be'ezer Hashem, it should not falter. Be'ezer Hashem, those who would like to see it falter should be unsuccessful in their attempts, and may their shame be revealed for everyone. Not out of a state of vindictiveness, but rather so that they should never have the ability to cause others who perhaps are more of a following type personality as to fall into their clutches again. So, Be'ezer Hashem. But anyway, let's discuss this topic of what does it mean for us to be together, Is it really just total acceptance of one another? That definitely is an ingredient. Is there more to be aspired to in this together? In other words, in terms of the structure in general of Klal Yisrael, let's examine. So first of all, the Psikta, the Medrash, right? This is the Medrash is quoted actually by the Avnei Eliyahu, Rav Rambam Agra, in his Perush al Hasidur, in the Bracha Ashiva Shoftenu Kevor Shona. So there, this Psikta is brought. Again, there's a different Nusach, there's a different Girsa. The Girsa of the Gra is the one that I have cited here. There is another Nusach that appears that wouldn't fit necessarily with this understanding. But this is what this is the version the Gra has, and this is the one that the Avni of the Yahu's son goes with in his parish on Siddur. It says, Vashiva Shoftayach Kavarishona, Zed David Ushlomo, the Pasuk, right? Vashiva Shoftayach Kavarishona, Yotzayach Kipatchila. Vashiva Shoftayach Kavarishona, Zed David Ushlomo. They are the implementers of justice, the Shoftim. Again, we know they're not Shoftim, I know they're Blochim, but in this context, which means those who implement justice, and they are the examples par excellence. Yotzayach Kipatchila. And your Yoatzim, those who give you direction, kivatchila, like in the very beginning, Zeh Moshe V'Aron. Again, I'm not addressing necessarily right now why one is Rishona, one is kivatchila. This is what he called, the Avnei Eliyahu does discuss in his Perush al Chumash. The Yoatzayach kivatchila is over here before we've started any process. In other words, the kings are the ultimate implementers of justice, and as such, the first two kings from Shevet Yehuda, the kings of Klal Yisrael, are David and Shlomo. The Yoatzim, those who, as it were, give us direction in life, right? They give us direction, Kivatchila, even before we have established a kingdom, as it were, Yoatzach Kivatchila, right? As opposed to Rishona, this is something that took place once. It's not something that's taking place from generation to generation. These Yoatzim set the tone at the very beginning of Kabbalah Sotorah, as opposed to the Lachim, the dynasty is meant to go from generation to generation to generation to generation. Meir Avinu, we should see it revived speedily in our days. But in any event, the Yoatzim, who are Moshe and Aaron, those who give us direction. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us a little bit about the difference between Moshe and Aaron's approach to dinim. In this case, we're talking about civil law. But the fact is that this sort of attitude can be used for kol Torah kula. When we're talking about dealing with a case between two litigants, right? Moshe Rabbeinu's derech was, let us adjudicate the case till the final, absolute bottom line. Yikov adin esahar, let the din, let the mishpat, let the law bore a hole in the mountain. Aaron, oev shalom, verodev shalom, umesim shalom bein on lechavero. Aaron, right, instead, was more concerned with creating an atmosphere of shalom. He would rather bring us to a pshara, to a compromise, right, rather than let the din bore a hole in the mountain. So the approach of Aaron HaKohen was to always, as it were, try and create peace between people, therefore compromise. Compromise has greater capacity for creating peace than winner take all. The mission of us says, we're talking here about the Zugos, those in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, we talk about the Nasi and Abezdin throughout the respective generations. Hil and Shammai here. Hil Omer, having a Talmid of Sha'aram, be a Talmid of Aram. Ohev Shalom, Verodev Shalom, Ohev Sabrios, or Karvan the Torah. Right? That's what he called. That's Hillel's Creo. One should be a Talmud of Aram. Aaron HaKohen, to love peace, to run after peace, to love the brios, and to be mekarved into Torah. We see. Ba'ata tetzave es b'nei Yisrael, says our pasuk here now in Parshas Tetzave. Ba'ata tetzave es b'nei Yisrael, v'ikhu elecha Hashem en zayizach, kosis l'ma'or l'halos ner tamid. And you, speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, Tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people, v'ikhu elecha, that which we will speak about in just a moment, the Shemen Zayizach, should be brought specifically to Moshe. Shemen Zayizach, Kasis, the Ma'or, right? Pure oil, the finest oil available, required at the highest level, that would be used for the menorah. The Halos near Tami. Again, we're going to now discuss the respective roles of both Moshe and Aaron with regard, to our parsha here, and see how these two different roles interweave with one another. So at the beginning of the parsha, we're clearly talking about Moshe. Says the Malbim, right? So ladas lama hifsik betzivui zeb in ma'isa mishkan v'kelo. The Malbim asks the question: why is it that we find that when we finished last week's parsha, we're talking about the building of the Mishkan? In this week's parsha, we're talking about big dikuna for the most part, except perhaps a little bit at the end, which we will discuss later, with regard to the Mizbeach HaKtoris, with the golden altar that was inside the Heichal, next to the menorah and the shulchan. But for the vast majority of the parsha, we're talking about the Big Day Kahuna. Why is it the Torah saw fit to, as it were, create as a passageway from the Kalim of the Mishkan, discussed in Parsha's Truma, to the Big Day Kahuna, to the vestments of the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hanim, Yadotim, etc., between them, to place this discussion of the oil needed for the menorah. So says the Malbim, right? It's as though this is some sort of intro to the entire world of the begotten. And then he quotes a pasuk for us in Koheles, right? He says, "B'chol eis yu begodecha levonim, v'shemen al roshcha al yechzar." A person's begotten should always be white. His exterior, and we'll see what that means. The shemen al rosh chal yechzar, you should never be lacking shemen. Shemen, which is always a symbol of something of a higher system. Right? Shemen always floats to the top. Right? Shemen always floats to the top. The shemen should never be lacking upon your head, and you should be, as it were, clothed in begotten that are clean. Again, this is not a plug for either brill cream or for, I know they don't have it anymore, either brill cream or for designer suits. but it is, as it were, relevant to our parsha here. Okay? Derech Agav, I skipped a line here, the second line of the Balbi says, "Shabafi mashi devar she'ikert sivu levishas ha-begodim ha-kudoshim yumas al-taharas ha-midos." The begodim, the bigdi kahuna, are a reference, as the Malbim talks about the idea that just as we have the word midos to refer to our affect, to our conduct, to our the way that we behave, the way we conduct ourselves, right? Those are our midos. Those are our midos. There are midos that are reflected in Beiron L'Makom. There are midos that are reflected in Beiron L'Chavero. Right? They're both what do you call? They're both present. They're both present. The idea of what do you call it, of clothing, right? V'lovash hakoi midovad. From Sefer VaYikra, clothing is mud. Midos are the clothing of the soul. Just as a person's clothing is the what do you call it, he garbs his body with clothing, so too also the meters are the clothing of the soul. And he continues, right? He brings what he called, he says, Vizemash Kumoshkasava Melis Havardashi, right? What he called to the Kadmonim, right? Who writes, HaTorah Va'odam Chiburam Hu Ner Elokim Ba'aretz. The Torah and what he calls, in this case, the Adam Yisraeli, right? A chiburam, who ner Elokim ba'aretz. They are like the ner, the light of the Ribbon Shel Olam upon the earth. A Torah he, lahav mispard mishaviv ha'yoshvi v'ashamayim. The Torah is the flame, right? As it were, as it jumps off, right? As it separates itself from the source of all light, right? Of all the fire of heaven, i.e., right? For the Torah is what he called, as it comes down to us. Down to us is like a flame, what he called, that's come down from heaven. Va'odam b'shnei chalokov avuka sho'eves oro. And a person, in all of his different, right, subsections, is like a wick, right? Like a wick that, as it were, receives the light of the, what do you call it, leaves the flame that's come from Shamayim. Gevo psila nifteles, right? His body is like the actual wick itself that has been, what do you call it, has been wound around. The nishmaso, and nishmaso, shemen zayezach, and the fuel, as it were, the shemen zayezach, the pure oil, that is his neshama. So the neshama, as it were, right, which resides in connection with the goof, those two things together make it possible for the light, i.e. the fire of the Torah, to descend from heaven and, what do you call it, to find its place here upon earth. Okay. B'haskamosam v'hatzimvitzamdam yismale abayit kula ora. And through the proper combination of these two things, the entire house is filled with light. V'amnam, lo kol adam zocher la'ashem en hazach ha'muchan la'hadlik bo or ha'eloki, la'hir or b'mikdosho. Right? Indeed though, right? Not every person is zocher that his oil, his pure oil, should be prepared, right, to what he called to light, right, the or ha'eloki, etc. People sometimes have admixtures of things inside of themselves, right? Remember, again, the neshama, a person's soul system, is representative of the shemen zayezach. But sometimes our soul system has been miskalkel through influences, through actions, etc. Levad ha-nefesh ha-muchonan le-kabel ha-torah va-chokhma hi ha-mevi'el ha-mikdosh ha-shemen zayezach ki ha-shem ya'ir neiru al-rosha koshikosan ki ha-ta ta'ir neiri. Not all souls are prepared. Some are. Vashir tziu hamikdash haya ki'ilu sham hisachdu kol Yisrael ki ish echad. And the entire structure, as the Malbim discussed at great length in his Rimzi HaMishkan in Parshas Truma, that the Mishkan is, as it were, is a macro picture of, what do you call it, of man, and a micro picture of the universe, right? With the Kodesh Kodashim representing, as it were, the world of the intellect, and the Heichal, what I call it, representing the the thoracic cavity with the lungs and the etc. and the heart, yeah, and then out into the courtyard, the chotzer, with the mizbeach and the choshes, representing the gastrointestinal tract. Again, he speaks about this in great length in Parshas Truma. The whole purpose of the Mishkan was to cause the divine presence to rest in our midst. Of course, the ikar of this divine presence, as it says, v'shachanti b'socham, that Hashem should dwell in our midst, in us as individuals, in us as a klal, right? Right, not just in the area of the Mishkan. The ikar is what you call it. The Mishkan is the blueprint, right? It is the cloth, it is the parchment, through which the divine presence is meant to rest really in and upon us. So that being the case, Siva Lagufa Klali Shem Bnei Yisrael Shiyaviu El Moshe Shemen Zay Zach Shu Yatayr Nishvasam Ukdushasa, right? Shiyem Muchal Namor. That's why the oil is brought for the menorah. Menorah B'dafka, because the menorah, right, remember, is the symbol that the Nesiv speaks about of Torah Shebaal Peh, which is really meant to emanate from us, right? Just as the luchos, just as the two tablets that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down, are meant to be put inside the, what we call the Aron HaKodesh, representing the ultimate in Torah Shebichsav, that which is passed down literally from heaven to earth, what we call it, in written fashion, engraved fashion, written fashion, right? So too also, the menorah represents the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah that is meant to be passed orally. Of course, we write it down nowadays because people are forgetting. That's a story really called about Rav Yehuda Nasi. But it's meant to be passed orally, and it's meant to be written upon our hearts. Like, it's called Luach Libecha, upon our hearts. But if it's in order to cause the oil, right, in order to cause the oil to, what we call, to shine, in order to cause the oil, I should say, what we call, to be pure, so that, what do you call it, that it combines with the wick, and then the fire of the Torah could actually, what you call, use this fuel in the best possible fashion, the oil must be pure. It can't be, right, filled with dross, right, with some sort of, what do you call, some sort of residue inside of it that will not allow it to rise properly up through the wick, right? So who will make sure that it's pure? Moshe Rabbeinu. Parsha starts with the role of Moshe. We have to realize, right, that we must receive, right, a degree of purity, absolute purity, from Moshe Rabbeinu to enable us to be successful in this enterprise, which is called the transferal of Hashem Shechina, from not only inhabiting the heavens, but to back upon earth once again, to rest in our midst, upon us, upon Klal Yisrael. Let's go a step further. Right? A few psukim later, or in Perek Chaf Ches, Ata Akrev Elechas Aron Achicha. Hashem tells Moshe to bring Aron Achicha, Ata Akrev Elechas Aron Achicha, Vezbonav Ito Mitoch Ben Yisrael Lecha Anoli, Aharon, Nadav Avihu, right? Elazar v'Samar b'nei Aaron, right? All of these, what do you call it? These, right? They should be brought close. Says the Malbim once again, Hakrev Hilecha, Asher ra'a Hashem livcho be'ish echad, Asher ye'emtsoi bein Hashem u'bein Yisrael. So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, right, is the one who prepares the connection to the heaven, brings that connection down. Right? He brings it down. He brings down what he called the purity of the Torah. He's able to purify the oil. He's able to purify our souls as a, to make us ready now for what Aaron will do. Yeah. Aaron will now be, right, will be the one who will take our actions, our avoda, unify it, and, as it were, send it back upwards. Moshe Rabbeinu is responsible for bringing down, right, called the purity of the Torah down to the earth to purify us, to purify our souls, as it were. And now we are meant to transform the world that we live in, Olam Hazeh. And with that transformation, we are meant to send that back up as our act of avoda, as we've raised up Olam Hazeh and sent it back upwards to show that we are Hashem, serving Hashem, the intermediary to aid us in that endeavor is Aron HaKohen. Umatza es Aron Muchan mitzad skulas nafsho. Right? He's unique. He's a unique person. As we said, he's a lover of Israel. He's a lover of every Jew. He's Oiv Sholem, he's Rodiv Sholem, Oiv Sabrias, Makarvan La Torah. He called on a Foshas Lo, Heina Ubiyodo, Peles, Umoznef, Mishkal, Adas, Tochakol, Nefesh Umalosa. He knows every soul. He sees in us. He feels us. Me'ata ye Aaron Hemsoi bin Hashem uvein Amo b'ha'alos ha'avoda. To bring up our actions, the world of avoda, to bring it up and show how we have transformed and we are transforming the world down here below and sending that upstairs. V'reach nichoach ha'olam avodas Hashem milamata lamala. Moshe Rabbeinu milamala lamata. He brings down the Torah to the earth. Aaron is the master of avoda, to take what is lamata and bring it up lamala, bring it upward. Moshe Moshe ayayim tzay lahorid is a Torah milamala lamata. Let's jump to the end of the parsha in order to properly appreciate what he caught. Aaron HaKohen, he sees into us. He has the ability to what he caught to feel our issues, our what he caught, to bring up our avoda, to bring up our avoda. At the end of the parsha, v'asis mizbeach, mizbeach miktak toris, atashitim ta'asel so, etc. The mizbeach haktoris. The mizbeach haktoris, which is in the heichal, upon which the incense was burned. So oddly, it makes its appearance here in Parshas Tetzaveh, rather than in Parshas Truma, with the rest of the Kalim of the Mishkan. It's true that Parshas Kisisa, we'll see the key over, there's a reason for that as well. But certainly over here, in terms of Parshas Tetzaveh, why is the Mizbeach HaKtoris, the Mizbeach HaZov, why is it here? It belongs in Parshas Truma. It says of Tzadok HaKohen, right? Inyan Parsha Zu, Medaru B'Kedushas HaKohuna. The whole Parsha Tetzaveh talks about the Kedushas HaKohuna, the process by which what he called Aaron will be inaugurated, right? The Big Day Kohuna, etc. Shemaschu Mi'inyan HaNeros, Tzas V'Neros, as we said before. Shayanafshu Shal'aron Agum V'Shalo Hayelo Chelek V'Kobonos HaNesiyim, right? Something which is discussed in Parshas Baloschon, Sefer Bamidbar. Aaron wanted to ultimately be part of the, what he called the inauguration of the Mishkan. But he didn't participate. He initiated, didn't participate in the inaugural Korbanos. You're going to do the Chanukah in the Oil Moed. You're going to light the menorah. Right, again, this is something that is all discussed in Parshas Balozcha. What's the issue exactly? It's true the Nesiim brought the Korbanos, but they didn't offer them. They didn't do the Avodah, they didn't do the Shechita, they didn't do it. Well, I mean, I guess they could have technically because it was an Arkan Shech. But they didn't do the Kabbalah, they didn't do the Halacha, they didn't do the Zrika, they didn't do the Haktara, right? They didn't sprinkle the blood, they didn't receive the blood, they didn't burn the portions of the Korban upon the Mizbeach. Aaron did it. So why is the menorah any better than what he called the Korbanos? The Chenik Korbanos is seen who he was Mizmakrif. Rak Adlaka Zacha Aaron, what we call the Hadlaka, all of a sudden that's so special for him. Why? Omnam, says the Reb Tzadok. Hadlaka Zaneris ba Mikdash Yirmos Alfas or Torah Meor Haganuz Benafshos Yisrael. The lighting of the menorah, right? The lighting of the menorah is indicative, it's symbolic. The imagery that everybody caught that it gives over to us is it's causing the light to come out. The light to come out from the souls of the Jewish people. Ofas or Torah mi'or agonos benafshus Yisrael betor shebal peh. Zakoach nitan la'aron lahofia ulahayir b'leiv Yisrael. That koach was given to Aaron. Once again, like the Malbim said earlier, because he understood every person. He was an Oif Sholem, Rodif Sholem. Oif Sabriyas Makar from the Torah. He understood them. Lahayir b'leiv Yisrael. Or Torah Shabal Peah, Yavlokas Aneros. Yeshloma, Bizveh Hatam, Shebizukasua Parsha, Zum Basisim Mizveh Miktak Torah. It's within that light, no pun intended, that we discuss at the end of this Parsha, Dafka here, we left the Mizveh HaKtoris, Mizveh HaZov, to the end of Parsha's Tetzaveh, rather than keep putting in Parsha's Truma. Omnum l'dvarenu yuvan shizehu be'etzem b'chinas aron ha-kohen l'karav ha-rachokim l'akdusha. There's the whole nature of the Mizveh HaKtoris is that we so know that it included in the samamonim, included in the ingredients of the Torah was chelbana. Chelbana, right? Which had a foul odor to it. Galbanum had a foul odor to it. It's only when it was put together with all the rest of the other ingredients in the Torah that it had a sweet fragrance to it. But it itself had a foul odor. Valyoda, and yet without this, the Torah is incomplete. Valyoda nishla mitzvah samaniak Torah. B'sh'amru kol taimish she'ein ba'b in posh Yisrael. As the Gemara says, yeah, any tainus where the Jewish people are davening for salvation, if it's not joined by those people who have sinned, but are struggling to extract themselves from the morass, from the quicksand of their what do you call it, of their sin, that tainus is deficient. It's missing. In a tainus. Right? It's dafka through them, because we want the entire body politic of Klai Yisrael to rise. Right? As we've said before so many times, the Shlosh says, yeah, Yisrael stands for Yesh, Shishim, Ribo, Os, Torah, Yud, Sin, Shin, whatever, Resh, Aleph, Lamed, Yesh, Shishim, Ribo, Os, Torah, there's 600,000, as it were, right? Root souls, 600,000 root letters. Again, that's a discussion, so right, that the number is what, is not 100% to what you call the way we count it. But that's what he says. That's the name. That's what Chazal tells 600,000. Root souls, root letters, right? They are, as it were, the Klal Yisrael is the embodiment of the Torah. So if not every Jew is there, we're missing something. It's similar to what the Yarol Stvash, Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz, writes in the Bracha Refayim, which one should pray for the healing of all the Jews. He says, especially Rishayim. I once had an argument with somebody about this, right? He says, especially Rishayim. Why? Because they die, then the structure of the Jewish people is deficient. They weren't closer to tshuva. We want them to be closer to tshuva. For their sake, for our sake, for the Shechina's sake. In addition, he says, right, Yisidjin is the finest light, right? Shedaika al yodam yesh ilu yosher kishin skarvim in a richuk ki yis the bezor ha-kodesh b'parshazut delis nuhura el ahu denofik migo shchula v'gachashucha. There's no greater light than that which comes out of the darkness. So the rising up of, what do you call it, of those Jews who unfortunately have fallen into darkness, when they rise up, the light that they shed, the light that shines from them, is intolerable. Place tov el hudenafik migo bisha. There is no greater good than that which comes out of evil. Right? So this is the closure, as it were. Aaron, as it were, can light up the souls of the Jewish people. He lights the menorah. He, as it were, shows how the Torah can be written upon our souls and rises upward, 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 upward. Right? He's the master of taking that which you've done here and sending it back towards Shemayim. And at the same time, also, he has the capacity to raise up those who unfortunately have descended into the quagmire of Olam Hazeh in an unhealthy fashion and to bring them up. Moshe purifies the oil. Aaron lights the menorah. Aaron in the Mizveh HaKtoris raises up, right, those who need to be raised out of the mud and the muck. Continue. Says the Gemara in Archim. Now, in Israel, Parshas Big Dikun, the Parshas Korbanos, the juxtaposition of the Korbanos to, right, of an inauguration of the Mishkan to the Big Dikuna. Just as the korbanos cleanse us, so too the big dekuna are mechaper, they cleanse us. How so? Choshen mishpat, we're going to speak only about a few kelim here. Choshen mechaper aladinim, the breastplate which had the what do you call it, the stones, the shvatim, etc. Right, opponent, right? What do you call it, those? What do you call those stones? Right, those. What do you call it? They're mechaper aladinim. Mechaper aladinim. Right, any abuse of justice. Okay. So the choshen is mechaper aladinim. Right, it's mechaper on errors, abuse of justice. The eifod is mechaper al avodah zarah. Tichsiv ein eifod v'trofim. Right, the eifod was a beged that was associated even with the avodah, right? Even with the avodah of avodah zarah, they used this eifod, an apron-like, what he called beged, as Rashi describes it in Parshas, what he called in Parshas Tetzaveh. Me'il mechaper al loshen hara. And the Me'il is mechaper on Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara. Perhaps I will even... a little show and tell here. Okay? Here we have the Kohen Gadol. You can see him. Right? He is wearing... The Choshen Mishpat is in the middle. Right? You see the stones there? The 12 stones? The beged that has the straps, the shoulder straps, and what do you call it, it goes down from his waist, basically down, it's open in the middle and goes down towards his feet, that's the ephod, again, a type of apron. There are different ways of describing it, as you see, there's what do you call it, there's different approaches, more than these also, as to how what the ephod actually looked like. The tchelis, what do you call it, the cloak that he's wearing underneath, right, is the me'il. So we're going to talk about those three things, the choshen, the ephod, and the me'il. And if you see carefully, on the shoulder straps of the ephod are the avnei shoham. Those are special stones, one on each shoulder strap of the ephod as it attaches to the choshen. The choshen, again, being the breastplate with the names of the shvatim and the names of the avos, other things, etc., written on it. So we have these three garments that are very clearly there in front of us. The me'il, the choshen, and the, what do you call it, and the ephod. Okay, so now. So the ephod is what he called, is as we described, is it's an apron-like, what he called, beged. The me'il, long cloak, etc. Der Chagav, I should have pointed that out. Sorry, apologize. If you'll note, let's find the me'il here. You'll see the me'il. Something very interesting about the me'il. The neck of the me'il is what he called, is turned in and sewn so that it can't tear, right? That's one thing fasting maybe we'll speak about. And in addition, we have over here at the bottom of the me'il are, and again, there are different opinions exactly how these things appeared, right? There are the, what he called, the pomegranates and the bells, golden bells and pomegranates, are they in one another or between one another? Okay, that's a discussion. Okay, hope that's clear. Right there, you see the bottom, and here you see the top, the neckline. Okay. Now let's continue. Okay. Pardon me if I make these changes here. Okay. When it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I've got a typo here. Pardon me. Fine. There's a typo. It should be eightfold. Says the record, the Rav Yonasan Apeshitz, right? Back to the Gemara. I'm sorry. The eightfold is mechaper on avodah zarah. Because again, it was a beged. It was the type of beged, the type of apron-like device that even over the avodah zarah wore. Oh, but here they will only use it for Hashem. Obviously, the meil is mechaper on lashon hara, as we will discuss, and the choshen is mechaper al adinim, as we said earlier. Okay, so now says Rav Yonasan Apeshitz, but also with the eifod, in an eifod. The choshen da ki ba'ov the kachovim asolus, etc. They used with the eifod. It brings a pasuk ein eifod v'trofim. The avnei shoham we mentioned, we pointed out before. The avnei shoham. These were the stones on the straps of the eifod, the shoulder straps of the eifod. What's the nature of these stones? Upon them were written the shmos bnei Yisrael, the shvatim. What order they win? Once again, is a discussion. Going down like this, or perhaps going across, what do you call one name here, the next name here, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. It's a discussion, Machlokas, Rashi, and the Rambam. But again, I don't get involved in that at the moment. And they, the Samta Eshtei Avonim, Al-Kisos Eifod, these two Avonim were placed upon the shoulder straps of the Eifod, Avni Zikoron, stones of zikorn, of memory, of remembrance. Livnei Yisrael, v'nasa Aaron, and Aaron will carry a shmosam, the names of the Jewish people upon these stones, of Livnei Hashem, before Hashem, as he enters into the avoda inside the mikdash, al shteik sefav l'zikoron. So note, there's two things here. There's an avni zikoron, and al shteik sefav l'zikoron. It appears to be repetitive. Let's see some of the Meforshim on the concept of these Avnei, right, Zikoron, of these Avnei Shoham, upon the shoulder straps of the Eifod. Let's take a look. I hope my pausing, someone has to come to the door, whatever. Okay, I hope that didn't disturb things too much. So again, they're called Avnei Zikoron. See what the Sam Sofer says about these Avnei Zikoron that are on the shoulder straps. Again, we have the Me'il. On top of the Me'il is worn the Eifod, which we said was the apron-like thing. The Me'il is like a long cloak, or almost looks like a long nightgown, right? The Eifod is on top of it, this apron-like, what do you call it, apparatus. And upon the eifod, right, attached from just beneath where those stones are on the shoulder straps to the belt of the eifod, sits the choshen mishpat. Says the Chacham Sofer with regard to the kisvos eifod. He says, on those two stones were all the names of the shvatim. And we quote, as Rashi says, right, it says the Chacham Sofer, Peirush Rashi in Parshas Vayechi, Ish Asher Kivirchoso Birach Osam. You hear this? That in the conclusion of the brachos that Yaakov Avinu gave to the Shvatim, there at the end, just before he passes on or he leaves their presence, right? What he called in Parshas Vayechi, it says, Ish Asher Kivirchoso, each one, according to his Birchoso, Birach Osam, he blessed them. So Chazal says she kolal kol echad ve'echad. Rashi says the kolal kol echad ve'echad bebrachoser shel chavero. In other words, each one, right? Each one in his bracha, we call combine the brachas of the others. They're all mixed together. Especially if you learn the order the way the Rambam learns it, you go from the right stone to the left stone, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., like that. Rashi has it more going up and down, but similarly, the Rambam learns it. They're really mixed together. Hashem Zikoron lifnei Hashem Shakurish Baruch Hu Yizkor Schusam, right? Hashem will remember their schus, right? And then in turn, ubeurim v'tumim, Hailech kol echad avno. And he refers to the Choshen as the Rumi Tum. Why? Because in the folds of the Choshen were Shemos Hashem, and that's how, what he called, how the Kohen, Gadol, when he was wearing this, could be used by either the king or the head of the army to be asked to divine, to give, as it were, almost like Nevuah. It was Nevuah, right? In questions that had to do with the public, the Tzibur, going out to battle, etc., things of that nature. So in the folds of the Choshen, right, the Choshen was folded over, there were Shevus Hashem inside, and the letters would light up on the Choshen to give the answer. And even, it says, what he calls, says the Chasam Sofer, he says that the Shvatim appear on the shoulders, and there the names are mixed because they're, what he calls, they're all together on two stones, all 12 tribes. And each one, though, has its own unique stone on the Choshen Mishpat, the fold in which are the names, the Shemos Hashem, the Urim V'Tumim. Hay l'chol echad avno miyuchad, him ashvotim shel achshav l'chol echad sinoro v'avno miyuchad lo. So we're drawing from the past, may the merit of those shvotim, as they were all mixed together and blessed together by their father Yaakov, may that merit now, as it were, wend its way down, right, wend its way down into the stones of every individual tribe. Those stones, in terms of Himli Zikoron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yizkor Lehetiv Lehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look at the merit of the first tribes, the Schenim, all mixed together on the Kisos HaEfor, all 12 tribes, on just two stones, and that merit should, as it were, wend its way down to the individual stones of every respective tribe. That's the Chasam Sofer says. The Imri Emes, right, the Imri Emes from Ger, says a little bit of a different story, right? He makes note of the fact that when Yaakov Avinu slept in Mokom Mikdash in Parshas Vayetze, so there are two midrashim there, right? They take 12 stones and said, if these 12 stones become one, this is a symbol that I will indeed be successful in the job description Hashem has given me to form the nation of the Jewish people. Perhaps he put two stones, right, court, to protect his head. Two different midrashim. He says they're both true. The two stones are representative of Avraham Yitzchak. The 12 stones are representative of the Shvatim. The two stones are reflected in the Avnei Shoham. The 12 stones are reflected in the Avnei HaChoshen, right? Right? Avnei HaChoshen, Choshen Mishpat. And that is, he says, once again, to combine together, right? The Avos, as represented by the 12 tribes that are held together, the stones on the shoulder straps, right, are on the stone called Shoham, form of onyx, Shoham. On the Choshen, that stone belongs to Yosef. Yosef has the capacity to bring them all together. It didn't seem that way in the beginning of his journey with his brothers, but in the end, certainly he brought them together. He saved them. He brought them together. And finally, the Chasam Sofer relates to what we were saying before. Chasam Sofer, that's the son of the Chasam Sofer. He relates to what we were saying before, that they're called Avnei Zikaron twice, because it's two zichronos that are required here, two memories, two remembrances that are required over here. One, we should remember who our avos are, right? We should remember what our legacy is, and we should live up to it. And then in turn, Hashem, kov yochel, remember us, right? Latova, right? V'hainu v'samte shtei havonim, avni zichron v'vni yisrael, sheim yizku aydei zeh ma'as avoseihem. Right? And then when they come in, when, as it were, when Aaron representing the Jewish people, right, goes into the Mikdash to do the service, carrying the stones of our memory, of our legacy, and our struggle to live up to that legacy, then in turn Hashem will be Zocher us. He'll be Zocher for us, the schus of our avos. If we are struggling to live up to their legacy, then in turn, Hashem, what we call, remember their schus as a merit for us. So we've talked quite a bit about different aspects of unity. We've talked about aspects of unity, right, to our past. We talked a little bit of aspects of unity to one another, right? On the Kisuf Eifot, they're all combined together. The Jewish people as a whole have individuality, right? Every stone on the Choshen representing its own individual Shevet. We've talked about the roles. Once again, the structure of the Jewish people also requires not just unity between us, but requires also who our leadership is, our Yotzim, Moshe, bringing down the purity, right, to our souls. And Aaron, in turn, the one who has the capacity to light the fire of our souls and to send that back upward towards Shemayim in our service of Hashem. Interestingly enough, let's see the combination, the intertwining, the unity between these three begotten. It's a din. V'yirkusu es achoshen mitabos shel tabos ha'efot. V'psil t'cheles lios al cheshev ha'efot v'lizach achoshen mi'al ha'efot. There is an ether to remove the attachment between the ephod and the choshen, right? Between the ephod and the choshen. Remember, the choshen represents mishpat. It also represents all the individual, as it were, what we call it, stones, every shevet. Every shevet, and also, as we said before, it's mechaper on any sort of digression from the purity of pure justice. The connection, right, between one tribe and the other, between one Jew and another, between one part of Klal Yisrael and the other, as represented by the Choshen, is very clear. The representation of divine service, the Eifod, right, which we said is even used by Avodah Zarah, Lahavdil, but here we're using it obviously for Kedusha, right, is very clear. Divine service and unity, they can't be separated. They have to go together. It's usher to remove the choshen from the wikol, from the ephod, or the ephod from the choshen, for that matter. A further step. A question that we could all ask, right? Right? A question we said, look at these psukim here. It says, Sisisa es me'il ha'ephod klil techeles. The me'il of the ephod klil techeles. The me'il of the ephod Klil techeles. Pure techeles. Right? The color of the heavens. The me'il is called the me'il of the ephod. Rashi says the reason it's called the me'il of the ephod is because it's the ephod is serving like a belt onto the me'il, as we saw before, remember? Here. See it here again. The me'il is underneath. The ephod goes on top. And attached to the ephod is the Choshen Mishpat, there in the middle. But something is bizarre about this. Would you call this the Me'il of the ephod? If the ephod is like a belt, so I wouldn't call it the Me'il of the ephod, I'd call it the ephod of the Me'il. You don't call these are the pants of my belt. This is the belt of my pants. Says the Toldos Yaakov Yosef from Plonia, right? Talmud of the Baal Shem. He asked the question, how can it be? Mazid Omer Mila Eifot, Eifot Ami'il. So let's examine the meal a little bit, and I think it will become clearer to us. Kedarka points out, Chazal say, right, that the Eifot, that the meal is meant to be Mechapra Lashon Hara, to cleanse his Lashon Hara. Says the Kliyakar, Baal In HaKofa Shtei Chomos, right, the collar member was turned in and sewn so that it wouldn't tear. Via piroshu b'tocho sofol yelafiv. Ki gam loshon haloshon tarach lios losh yeh piroshu b'tocho. A person's tongue needs, as it were, two barriers. Just as it's turned in and also sewn closed so that it, what do you call it, it won't tear. So too also, the tongue shouldn't pass beyond the pearly whites and the lips. Two barriers. He shall etzem the kineged achomer shall basar the hainu hasfasayim amra safa yelafiv, as it says with regard to the what he called the meal safa, a what he called a seam yelafiv, right? Ed would quote to the mouth of the garment. Lo yikara kadesh lo yikara beis chomos ke'echad. That's one thing. And the second thing, we remember at the bottom of the meal, remember there were the rimonim and the palmonim, the bells and the, what do you call the bells and the, right, we see it here again at the bottom, the bells and the, what do you call it, and the pomegranates. Again, how they were made exactly is a discussion. Are they in between one another or within one another? Vayubo rimonim, says the Kliyako pomonim, hamashvim kol l'chaper al aloshon, shebetoch hapeh, ke'anvil shebetoch hazagim v'atikun shel aloshon shelo yachel dvaro. The upper part of the me'il is to prevent us from speaking lashon hara, as it were, right? Doubled, in, sewn, so that it won't tear. The tongue shouldn't go past the lips and the, what do you call it, and the teeth in an inappropriate fashion. But our speech should be golden. Divrei Torah, divrei bracha, dvarim to bring up someone else's spirits, so says the Kol Yakar. The Tolos Yaakov Yosef, as we mentioned before, says a little bit differently about those palmonim and rominim at the bottom. He says the palmonim and rominim at the bottom of the beged are meant to remind us that there are those Jews who need to be uplifted. Right? They need to be uplifted. They need to be infused with Torah. They need to be infused with Torah. So the rimonim, he says, a representative. Right? After a person, as it were, has perfected his own conduct, he is an example. His speech is not what we call sullied by inappropriate language, lashon hara, kas, nivel peh, right? Filthy language, words of anger, words of oppression, words of tail-bearing, whatever it happens to be. And then, those, what they call it, who are of the lower part of the beged, because they're struggling to pick themselves up. They're called rimonim. Why? Because we know, like the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Rakaseich Kefela HaRimon, right? There's talking about your neck is like the white of the rimon, but what do you call it? But Chazal say, Rakaseich Kefela HaRimon, even the Reikanim, even those who are empty, who haven't been trained in Torah, etc., but every Jew is full of mitzvos like a pomegranate, right? And the palmonim, golden, we should fill them with golden words, right? The call of Torah. The call of Torah. The call of Torah. The call of Torah. So, again, we need to receive from Moshe. We need an Aaron, as it were, to send up our avoda upwards, an Aaron who loves us. This is part of the structure of the Jewish people also. Leadership. Not just camaraderie, also leadership. Leadership. In the world of camaraderie, right, so we have the connection between the ephod and the choshen, right? The ephod is a garment of divine service to the Creator, right? And at the same time, there is meant to be an unbroken bond between that and the stones of the choshen, right, of unity. Can't separate the two, one from the other. We can't cut ourselves off, right, from our fellow Jews, right, even if we don't always agree. We can't cut ourselves off from them, the unity, right? At the same time, also, there's an eternal bond between the Choshen, right, I'm sorry, the Ephod, and the, what do you call it, and the Me'il, divine service once again, and divine service once again, but the divine service over here is a person needs to perfect himself also in terms of his conduct, his speech. That's the mouth of the meal. And then it's not enough to perfect himself. He must also, as it were, raise up the rimonim. Even those who have not been trained in Torah, we must raise them up. They need to be raised up. That's our responsibility. And that's also their destiny as well. That they should be raised up with the palmonim of Torah. So together, we will triumph. But being together doesn't just mean it's like California. You're okay, I'm okay. it's California. There's a lot more to it. Hashem should give us Siyata Deshmaya, should give all the Jewish people Siyata Deshmaya. It's Chodesh Adar, and they call it Purim Katan is coming. Kadosh Baruch Hu should do it for his people, we call it Nisim Niflos, right? Right? This month, other bays, we need two others this year. We really need two others. We need the unbelievable Nafochu, right, called raising up the Jewish people and their being successful against both their external and what do you call it, and their internal enemies, right? We should see it by Mimahim Bazman Hazeh. Amen. Okay. Good job.